Hi, everyone. My name is Tim Cohen. I'm the editor of Business Maverick. It's my pleasure to be talking this morning to Isaac Mashego, who is an economist at Nedbank. Isaac, we're at the beginning of the year. Welcome. What do you foresee for the future this year?
Thanks, Tim. This is likely to be a busy year for South Africa. We know that on the political front, we are heading for general elections. Those should happen in May. And then on the economic front, we will continue basically dealing with the challenges that we have faced over a couple of years. And disconcertingly, we know that, the situation has worsened a bit. Load shedding or the power outages have increased. The troubles related to the national ports and the rail system have worsened, and Transnet needs more financial help from the government. And, the economy is likely to remain under some pressure for some time. But what's encouraging is that on the interest rate front, we do expect the South African Reserve Bank to start lowering interest rates around the middle of this year as inflation stays low, and that should give a bit of a boost to economic growth.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very interesting. I was just having a look this morning at the IMF's projections. We haven't got the IMF's projections for 2024. They're just about to be released in a couple of days. But if you go back to this stage last year, the IMF was projecting global growth at 2.9% increase in GDP. It's going to come in, according to their latest estimate, which was in October last year, at around about 3. So that's pretty good projection if you think about it. So they were 0.1% out, assuming that it does come in at that level. But they made two big mistakes. They actually made sort of three or four big mistakes. The one was the US, they underestimated. The euro area, they got sort of absolutely spot on. China, they slightly overestimated growth. India, they slightly underestimated. But also Brazil and Mexico, they got completely wrong. And then sadly, South Africa, they got pretty wrong. So at the beginning of last year, they were projecting 1.2% growth for 2023. South Africa is probably going to come in at 0.9. I don't know whether you agree with that. But they are suggesting that this is going to double this year to 1.8% growth. What do you make of all of that?
Sure. I will start with the global environment. I mean, we expect a slight improvement from last year, but of course, downside risks, i.e. chances of slower growth have increased. The conflict in the Middle East is a huge worry. It has disrupted the flow of goods from the East to the West through the Red Sea and the Suez Canal, and could add to basically cost of goods around the world and keep inflation slightly higher than we expect at the moment. But when it comes to economic growth, as you noted, the U.S. and India have given a boost to the world economy with the growth rates being higher than expected. But on the downside, we've seen Europe, particularly Germany, disappointing. And also the recovery in China has been weaker than forecasted as that economy really, struggles due to its structural issues such as the unfavorable demographics and also the impact of overinvestment in the real estate sector over the past 2-3 decades. So, the world economy is going to face those downward pressures of slower growth in China. Remember that China remains very important in the global economy, both from the supply side as a manufacturer of relatively cheap goods, but also a key consumer of commodities. And that's significant for us as a commodity exporter. The South African economy is supposed to be benefiting handsomely from higher commodity prices. We saw that happening a bit in 2022, but in 2023, with the sharp falling prices of platinum, gold, coal, and iron ore, there was a huge impact on our mining exports, and that we know has resulted in, for instance, mining taxes collected by SARS falling quite sharply. But more importantly, domestic constraints are having a greater impact on local economic growth. All the inefficiencies in the network industries, you know, we're talking about power supply, we're talking about transport, particularly rail and the ports system, those are really hurting the corporate sector, particularly exporters, and just holding the economy back. Our estimate is that the South African economy expanded by only 0.5% in 2023. And of course, that's a lot lower than what we had expected at the start of the year. What held back the economy in 2023 was the intense load shedding, particularly in the first half of the year, you know, power outages being ramped up to stage 6 or 6,000 megawatts being taken off the grid at some stage. And that basically contained output activity in mining, in manufacturing, and all related sectors. We saw, for instance, through the winter and the early summer, the power outages being a bit lower, but generally, the numbers show that our economy has no real strong momentum and we are unlikely to record a growth rate of more than 1% for 2023.
What do you make of the IMF suggestion that the growth in 2024 will be 1.8%? What is your estimate there?
Well, we expect a lower number, around 1.1, 1.2. The economy will benefit primarily from the decline in global inflation, which has helped to reduce our inflation rate. And that will give the South African Reserve Bank room to start cutting interest rates. We expect the first cut to come in May and the 30 May meeting. If not that meeting, then the July meeting. But during the second half of this year, we expect the South African Reserve Bank to be cutting interest rates. Because even looking at the global economy, the U.S. Federal Reserve is expected to start cutting at its 1 May meeting. Some market forecasters are pricing in an early cut, i.e. at the March meeting, but we believe that will be a bit too early. But definitely in the second half of 2024, we expect global interest rates to be lower. That will also boost global consumption and therefore demand for imported goods. And as an exporter of even manufactured goods, we should benefit to some extent from that upward trend in global growth, barring any significant shocks to the global economy.
You know, I just, you're looking at the picture a little bit longer term and broader. How do you think, I mean, South Africa's got to break out of this, you know, 1%, 1.5%, 0.9% growth sort of paradigm. How do we get back to the, you know, in the early 2000s, we were growing at 5%, 6%. How do we get back there?
Definitely, Tim. You know, the South African economy has been growing at 2% or less since about 2013, 2014. So, you know, around that time, yes, we were at 2%. But by 2019, just before COVID hit, growth for the year was only 0.2%. And we had that sharp contraction of 6.4% in 2020 due to COVID, then a slight recovery in 2021 and also 2022 as we benefited from the normalization of global demand and also local economic activity. But as a country, we really need to lift our growth rate. We really need to expand the production base. And we have to start by addressing the inefficiencies in the network industries. You know, power supply, the transport sectors, those are really constraining higher investment by the private sector in physical production facilities. We've seen fixed investment spending by the private sector starting to recover in late 2022, but the big driver has primarily been investment in the renewable energy sector. And then what really needs to happen is that Eskom needs to be stabilized, because remember that the baseload, the ESCOM baseload is still very, very important. ESCOM still supplies, 80% of local power. So there's still significant dependence on ESCOM power. And until we sort that out, we are likely to break out of this rut of basically anemic growth. And of course, the transport system, the rail system, sending goods to the ports for export. We need to get that working more efficiently. We know that the backlogs, for instance, at the Durban port have been reported at close to 6 weeks. So that needs to be addressed in order to ensure that the local economy operates more efficiently. If we can achieve that, we will improve the growth prospects and definitely job opportunities for, a large section of the community, which is low-skilled and has got limited opportunities.
Yeah, it is noticeable, I think, how much corporates spent in 2023 on renewables. I mean, really, they just went absolutely nuts and added an enormous amount. Do you foresee that continuing, or do you think that spending is done? Are we going to see more independent production this year?
I expect that to be the case for the next few years, maybe the next 3-4 years. The numbers show that more than 6,000 megawatts was brought on stream by private investment in renewables, and also NERSA licensing the new independent power producers, under the government's Renewable Energy Independent Power Producer Procurement Program. Yesterday, the Minister of Electricity was quoted as saying that, the private sector is very keen and ready to contribute to investment in electricity generation and also upgrading the national transmission network. I saw the number thrown around of about $390 billion being needed over the next few years to really stabilize and expand the grid and also expand the transmission network. So I do expect the private sector to really play an active role in investment in the power sector in South Africa. Because, we've got to appreciate the fact that the government has liberalized power generation. A couple of years ago, we know that due to ideological leanings, there was this huge resistance to get the private sector involved in power generation. But the crisis has changed that drastically, and the private sector has basically welcomed that and shown great enthusiasm in solving the power problems in South Africa.
Yeah, ESCOM's one thing. Of course, you mentioned Transnet as well. It seems like there's quite a lot of pressure on Treasury to help with Transnet's debt in the same way that it's helped with ESCOM's debt. The Transnet's overall debt is about 130 billion rand. That means that they are paying about a billion rand a month just in interest payments. How do you see this? Would you encourage Treasury to just bite on the bullet and help Transnet out? Or is it, if they do that, they have to take money from somewhere else? That will tax more. How do you see them getting out of this dilemma?
Sure. I expect the National Treasury to announce some sort of package in the budget speech on the 21st of February. You will recall that in November, there was that allocation to Transnet just for the utility to meet its maturing loan obligations. But in the budget speech this year, or maybe later, if the deal has been finalized, I do expect a detailed plan to basically lighten Transnet's debt load. Because, what we have heard is that Transnet right now does not generate enough revenue from its operations to meet its debt service obligations. So Transnet needs all the help that it can get. It is too important, strategically important to fail. And even if it defaulted, that could trigger a whole lot of cross defaults across public sector loans. So just as in the case of ESCOM, I believe that the National Treasury has got to act to stabilize Transnet finances. But what's encouraging is that, you know, we've heard from the finance minister that the state-owned enterprises are no more going to get unconditional financial bailouts. They will have to comply with very strict targets, which are aimed at improving their management, improving their operations, and of course, controlling their spending quite tightly. And with those policies now being in place, those conditions, I do believe that we will go some way towards stabilizing the key state-owned enterprises and ensuring that they operate more efficiently and contribute to lifting the local economic growth rate.
All right. That's interesting. As you mentioned right at the start, it is an election year in South Africa. How is that going to affect the economy? Do you have any sense in which it will, it's quite early in the year, so there'll be quite a lot of period afterwards. But what are the upsides and downsides here?
Sure. I mean, just listening to political analysts, it is quite likely that the ANC will need another party as a coalition partner post the elections. And in that scenario, we will watch very closely what the policy implications of that coalition government will be. But generally, I would say that we do not expect a significant shift in government policy. What we are hoping for is that whoever will join the ANC in a coalition government will help to speed up the implementation of government policies that are contained, for instance, in the National Development Plan, which basically lean towards making the economy more efficient, getting the private sector to cooperate with the public sector to get the economy working better. Even if the ANC manages to win the elections on its own and does not need a coalition partner, what I hope for is a more efficient government after the elections, the government that will really acknowledge the challenge that we're facing, the low growth environment. We've been in a low growth environment for quite a long time. The last time the South African economy was growing at a rate that would help us to address our socio-economic challenges was around 2007. And since then, economic growth has just been too low to really provide for a growing population. So we really need to fast track all these measures that are needed to boost the economy.
Isaac, thank you very much. That's very interesting. We'll speak again at the beginning of next year, and I'll tell the listeners whether you were right about the 1.1% growth. Thank you very much.
Sure, Tim. It's my pleasure.